We'll go on to the seventh point, and this is very important. Again, notice in Mark chapter 1 that the man was in the synagogue, the man who needed deliverance. He was under the ministry of Jesus. He was submitting to teaching when deliverance came to him. And I do not find that Jesus ever ran after anybody and sought to deliver them unless they would submit themselves to his ministry. The other clear example is in Mark 5:6, a very clear example of this. This Gadarene demoniac who was naked, couldn't be bound with chains. When he saw Jesus, he did one thing, about the only thing he could do. It says, when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him. He fell at his feet. He submitted himself to the authority of Jesus. The demons in him fought, but his will was to submit to Jesus. And normally speaking, there is no scriptural precedent, and it is totally in vain to seek to minister deliverance to people who will not submit themselves to the ministry of the Word and the authority of Jesus Christ. Now, there may be occasional exceptions, but on the whole, the pattern is that the person needing deliverance must submit to the ministry of the Word and to the authority of the person who is ministering deliverance to them. I have discovered, for instance, in my own experience, if people do not have confidence in me, I absolutely cannot help them. I may desire to help them, but if they have any kind of attitude of reserve or suspicion or in many cases resentment, I'm unable to minister help to them. It's a comical thing how often when a person comes into a meeting needing deliverance, the demon in them will turn them in absolutely unreasonable resentment against the preacher. And this has happened so many times. I tell people when I'm preaching, I say, now, there could be many reasons for you to resent me, and some of them might be very strong reasons. But if you feel an unreasoning resentment for me that's not based on anything I've said or done, then bear in mind that's the demon in you, and he doesn't want you to come to me for help, and that's his way of keeping you from me. But those people have to resist that thing and come and submit themselves to my ministry or whoever it may be who's ministering deliverance. It is not scriptural to run after people trying to deliver them before they're willing to submit to the ministry that will bring deliverance to them. The eighth point, in the case of a child, let's look at this scripture for a moment. This is dramatic. Mark chapter 9, verses 22 and 23. The father of the epileptic boy has come to Jesus. Verse 21, Jesus said, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. That's significant because I've discovered that most serious cases of demon problems arise in childhood, and sometimes it's necessary to find out when they started in order to bring healing and deliverance, but we don't go into the details here. The father said, oft times it, the demon, hath cast him into the fire and into the waters to destroy him, but if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. Notice, if thou canst do anything, and notice the immediate answer of Jesus, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. What was he asked to believe for? His own deliverance? No, the deliverance of his son. And here's a scriptural principle that we don't have time to establish in this study. Parents are obligated to have faith for their children. I can take you right through scripture and show you this from beginning to end of scripture. God said to Noah, thee have I found righteous before me. Come thou and all thy house. And right on through scripture. It's the privilege and it's the responsibility of parents not merely to educate their children, not merely to feed them and clothe them, not merely to train them in spiritual things, but the supreme responsibility is to exercise faith for them. And as far as I'm able to find in Scripture, Jesus never ministered to a child unless at least one parent exercised faith on behalf of that child. I've learnt this by my mistakes, because many times somebody will drag an unruly, rebellious kid forward and say, Brother Prince, this boy has a demon, pray for him. And I'd start to pray, and the results are negligible. And I don't do that now. I always say two things. Where's the parent? If the parent isn't here, is there anybody that accepts the responsibility of a parent for this child? Not just for 5 minutes in the deliverance service, but for life. And secondly, I've always found, and never yet have I found an exception, problem child, problem parent. People that come to me now, they get warned beforehand. That's what I'm going to say. I have never yet found it wrong. Jesus knew what he was doing. If, for instance, a child has problems, let's say resentment, rebellion, hatred, the parents are not there, they're not involved, they're not concerned, even if you could get that child delivered. If it goes back to that atmosphere, the demons will be in it again within a week. See, there's a problem of relationships. God has made parents responsible for their children, and he does not go against his own principles. Look at the other case in Mark 7 there, 25 through 30. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek or a Gentile, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. In other words, lady, you're just a dog. You don't have any claims. And oh, what an answer. She answered unto him, yea, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Oh, what an answer. Oh, how I respect that woman. It's true, Lord, I'm just a dog, but I don't need a loaf. All I need is a crumb. A crumb will get the demon out of my daughter. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. The devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. See, one parent can exercise faith, but without the faith of one parent, you will not find anywhere in the Gospels Jesus ministered to a child. It isn't scriptural. It doesn't work. God knows what he's doing. The ninth point in your outline, Matthew 8:16, Mark 1:39. We don't really need to look at these scriptures, all of them, but notice Matthew 8:16 for a moment. When the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with demons. Why when the even was come? Because it was the Sabbath, and they were religious Orthodox Jews. They were not allowed to go any distance nor carry any burdens on the Sabbath. So they waited till the sun set, the Sabbath was finished, they came to him. Mark 1:39, it says he preached in all their synagogues. The majority of the people to whom Jesus ministered were what we would call Orthodox religious Jews. And as Orthodox Jews, by the law of Moses, they were forbidden ever to practice idolatry, or to practice any form of magic or sorcery or witchcraft. Now, I have heard preachers say, oh, sure, you get evil spirits amongst the heathen where they practice witchcraft and where they worship idols. But, of course, in a civilized country, and it always happens to be a civilized country where the preacher is, whether it's America or Denmark or England, it's a funny thing. The people in England can easily believe they're demons in America. They have no problem about that. Believe me, that wouldn't surprise them. But demons in England, that's another matter. And the people in Denmark can believe in demons in England, but not in Denmark, see? Because in Denmark, they're so civilized. But I want to point out to you that these people were forbidden on pain of death ever to practice idolatry or witchcraft. Furthermore, they were not criminals. They were not lunatics. They could walk the streets of Galilee. They could till their farms, they could fish the seas, they could keep their stores, they could maintain a more or less normal existence. And yet Jesus cast demons out of them by the thousands. See what a false picture we have, that if a person needs deliverance from evil spirits, he must be either a criminal or a lunatic or way off or an idol worshipper or a person that's practiced the worship of Satan or something like that. This is not true. Admittedly, those people will invariably need deliverance. But there are millions and millions and millions of apparently normal, decent, respectable people who need deliverance from evil spirits, just as there were in the days of Jesus, so there are today. Estimating how many people need deliverance is a dangerous thing, but I would say within the professing Christian church, at least as many people need deliverance from evil spirits as need healing from sickness, and that's about 80%. If you go to the average congregation and check how many people are whole from the crown of their head to the sole of their feet, if you find 20%, it's an unusually healthy congregation. And in my personal judgment, at least as many people in the same congregation need deliverance from evil spirits as need physical healing from sickness. If anything, more. That's my personal estimate based on experience. But I had something that rather bolstered my opinion and my estimates, because I've been going around saying for some months, in my opinion, about 80% of people have legs of unequal length. And the other day, a brother sent me a cutting from the United Press, which says in Britain, the doctors estimate 77% of people have legs of unequal length. So I'm only 3% out in my estimate. And I don't believe I'm any more out in my estimate of how many people need deliverance from evil spirits. Do you see, the thing is, this whole business has been shrouded in darkness, fear, and superstition. So that if you even start to talk about demons, people back off and say, oh, don't want to listen to that. And if there ever was a lady that was delivered from a demon, all the rest of the people, oh, you see that woman? Brother Prince cast 3 demons out of her. Stand clear, because she might be dangerous. It might be catching. Now, this is totally foolish attitude about this whole thing.